How close are Russia's economic ties to China, and what do they mean for escalating geopolitical tensions? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Russia said today it's prepared to supply China with more oil and gas. That's according to a deal officially announced this morning after a meeting in Beijing between Chinese President Xi Jinping and Russian President Vladimir Putin. China is the world's biggest energy consumer, and Russia is the country's third largest supplier. It's thought President Putin will be looking for more diplomatic support as he builds up troops on Russia's border with Ukraine. Last week, Beijing said Moscow had legitimate security concerns, but it's been cautious about the level of support it offers Russia. Chris Weifer is the chief executive of the investment consultancy Macro Advisory in Moscow. He explains how deep the ties between the two countries go.
China funds the major eastern oil pipeline that now takes about 1.5 million barrels of Russian crude directly into China every day. We've had China investing in some refineries in the Far East, and also in the big LNG projects in Yamal in Russia's Arctic. China is the major foreign investor in those projects and will be the biggest buyer of the LNG that comes out of that region. And then several years ago, Russia and China finally agreed to build Power of Siberia 1, which started delivering gas to China from Russia's Far East last year. And both sides are now planning and have agreed on the second pipeline, Power of Siberia 2, which is expected to start construction in 2024 and will be delivering more gas to China a couple of years after that.
Is this deal today essentially just diverting supplies that would go to Europe now to China?
No, it does. It's not an either-or situation. The European gas sources come mainly from Yamal and from kind of middle of Russia. The Chinese gas will come from projects which are newly developed in the Far East and closer to the Chinese border. So for Russia, it basically allows them to diversify. Because, of course, remember, Europe is dependent on Russian gas, but it works both ways. Russia also woke up to the fact that it's completely dependent on Europe as its main customer for its energy. Russia has been just as eager to diversify its customer base as much as Europe is now eager to diversify its supply sources and not be as reliant on one customer as it has been in the past with Europe.
And I guess this meeting today and the result of it, this new deal, is sort of a big show of diplomatic support between Russia and China. But how far do you think China would be willing to go? Because it has in the past been cautious about how much or the level of support it offers President Putin.
The whole purpose of today's signing ceremony is for Moscow to show the West that it has alternatives and it is diversifying and it's not going to be as vulnerable to Western sanctions in the future as it has been. And for China, it's also about showing the West that it's now securing more energy sources, more reliable energy sources, and it's not going to be as vulnerable to, say, to international trade. But you're right, China has always limited the amount of support it gives to Russia. And certainly it's been a very willing investor in the Russian economy in areas that suit China. So energy is an obvious one, but also on transportation, because Russia is one of the major routes for the BRI trains to Europe. And now we see cooperation in areas like Arctic development in the North Sea transport route, which shortened the travel distance between Chinese ports and Northern Europe. And then eventually it'll be in space exploration. So areas that suit China just as much as they suit Russia. Political side, though, China has been very wary about crossing any sanctions lines. The Chinese companies operate in the US and they operate in Europe. They operate globally and they would never violate a US or European sanction because that then could damage more important business for them elsewhere. China will not jeopardize its position in the global economy or that of its major companies by violating Western sanctions. And say, Russia knows that.
Chris Weifer from Macro Advisory in Moscow. Thanks for your time this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Checking the numbers now. Oil prices are continuing their upward climb. Brent is trading around $92 a barrel this morning. Global stock markets, meanwhile, are mixed as investors continue to come to grips with more hawkish stances from central banks in Europe and the U.S. The Stock 600 index is down 0.8% at this hour. Stock futures in the U.S., though, are higher. NASDAQ futures are up 0.9% after yesterday's tech-fueled sell-off. To South Africa now, where scientists say they've produced a version of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine, and they hope to begin clinical trials by the end of the year. If it's approved, scientists hope the vaccine could increase vaccination rates across Africa, which are the lowest in the world. The BBC's Rhoda Odhiambo explains how researchers have created this vaccine.
So scientists at one of the biotechnology facilities in South Africa were able to make this happen because you're able to work on public data that was shared on Moderna. It's important to note that this is one of the facilities that has been backed by the WHO and other health bodies to help African countries to act as a technology transfer hub, such that in the event they're able to crack the code of developing either of the mRNA vaccine, that's Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine, or Pfizer's, they'll be able to share the data with other African countries that have the capacity to produce vaccines. But in this particular incident, Moderna did not share any data with the scientists in this particular lab. So they were able to make this copy by their own using the data that was publicly shared.
So is this something that they could theoretically repeat with other vaccines like Pfizer's or Johnson & Johnson's to help get vaccine rates up across the continent?
Yes, this is something that they could be able to do, because since Pfizer has also said that it's not going to share its technology, if the scientists are able to get the publicly shared data of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine, then they'll be able to share the data.
It's been a very busy few weeks for vaccine manufacturing in South Africa. A new facility opened in Cape Town. What could this mean for overall vaccine manufacturing in South Africa and really across the continent?
It's a good thing, because if we look at how COVID-19 vaccines have been produced and also their access, many African countries have not been able to get access to COVID-19 vaccines, basically because all of them are produced outside the continent and they have to be shipped to African countries to use them. Now, what this South African American businessman plans to achieve is this facility that he's planning to open up in Cape Town. Once it's up and running and they're able to develop COVID-19 vaccines from start to finish, it will reduce, number one, the logistical cost of transporting vaccines from one part of the world to the other, and also make African countries aware that they have the capability to do that. They would just need to get a push and support from governments to put in place funding so that facilities that are up and running are able to produce COVID-19 vaccines.
The BBC's Rhoda Odhiambo for us. Thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome.
And finally, athletes and world leaders are gathering in Beijing for the official opening of the Winter Olympics. And how's this for a businessy twist? The big air ski and snowboarding events will take place on the site of what once was the Beijing area's biggest steel plant. If you watch along on TV, you'll see athletes flying through the air with the backdrop of the plant's four remaining cooling towers. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.